set myself up for a difficult situation, because the last couple of weeks we've been talking about in Yom Yontif, and we didn't finish. So the problem is, what am I going to talk about today? So I can talk about Yontif also today. It's always an interesting topic. So Baruch Hashem, we had an interesting halachic situation that's going to come up in about 45 minutes or so. So it's relevant a little bit to Hilchos Yontif, and I thought we'd talk about it a little bit. And that's this morning's bris. So why is this morning's bris a very unique halachic situation? Because today's baby, you normally have a bris on a Sunday, so you think, okay, so this baby was born last Sunday. Usually that's the case, unless there's some medical complication. So it happens to be, Baruch Hashem, this baby is perfectly okay. There are no medical complications. This baby was not born last Sunday. This baby was not born last Shabbos, was not born last, it was born last Thursday. So if it was born last Thursday, why in the world is the bris today? So we'll try to discuss it as we proceed. So the background to the Shaila happens as follows, that I got a frantic call from Dr. Field, the father of the baby. Last Thursday, it was early evening already, I got a call from him. It was about 6 o'clock or so in the evening, saying that he's in the hospital, his wife's in labor, and we may have a Ben HaShemasha situation coming up. So I said, okay. So I said, what am I supposed to do? So I said, just say to him and keep your watch on, and just keep in close contact with the delivery team. I said that the second that the head emerges, which is also shot, emerges from where, but okay, where? It's a machlik, it's a poskim. Doesn't mean it emerges from the into the cervix, out of the cervix, out of that. We're assuming that it means out of the body. That's what the most part of the Midrash Yisrael usually assumes is. So just keep in touch with the doctors and keep in touch with me, that as soon as the head is out, so they should tell you right away, and take a quick look at your watch, and then call me with the exact timing of the birth of that baby. And that's what the kachava. So be it. So I get a frantic call about 2.5 hours later. Rabbi, the baby was born. I forgot already what time Shki was then, but Shki was 8:10, if I'm not mistaken, last Thursday. So the baby was born at 8:33. 8:32, 8:33, Be'erech, that was the timing of the baby. So now the question is, what do you do with that? So it was a pretty classic Ben HaShemashas type of a situation. So what's the halacha? So let's try to analyze the shayla a little bit. So the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Shabbos that when you have a baby that's born on a regular Ben HaShemashas, let's say a baby born from a Monday going into a Tuesday, so you have a little bit of a problem, because you're not sure halachically, you're not sure al-pitin, which day is it? So which day should you do the Bris Milah? So let's say a baby born from Monday into Tuesday, no Shabbos, no Yotav, no nothing, a Monday into Tuesday, which day to do the Milah? So you have two choices, either a Monday or Tuesday. So the Mishnah says you cannot do the bris on a Monday. Why? Because misafek, in case the baby was really born on Tuesday, it turns out that Monday is only the seventh day. To do a bris on the seventh day is absolutely out of the question. If you do a bris on the seventh day, there's in fact a machlekes, the Ramon, the Shach, you have to then go fix it up afterwards. You have to do a tofestam bris afterwards to go draw a little bit of blood when you realize that you made a mistake and you did it too early. So that's the worst thing we would want to do. We don't want to start up with a bris on the Yom HaShvi'i. So the Mishnah says that's out of the question. So when you have a suffolk bris, a suffolk either Monday or Tuesday, so then you have to always opt for the later day. So in that normal case, you do the bris on a Tuesday. So what's the worst case scenario? Either you got it right, and it's not on the eighth day, or you got it wrong, and it's the ninth day. It's a big deal. Meal on the ninth day is also kosher. You also get to the mitzvah. So it's no worse than if the baby wasn't well. So that's what the din is. That's the simple, straightforward halacha. The baby born during Ben HaShemashas is a Monday into Tuesday, so the bris is always going to be on Tuesday. Then the Mishnah goes a little bit further, and the Mishnah says, well, what if things are a little bit more complicated? What if you have a baby that's born and a Ben HaShemashas, but the Ben HaShemashas is going into Shabbos? Let's get simpler than our case, but you have a baby that's born Friday afternoon, late Friday afternoon, and it's already after Shkia, it's before Tzeis Kechavim, before it gets dark, so then what do you do? So you have the same issue in a sense. You can't do the bris on Friday, because if the baby was really born halakhically on Shabbos, then Friday is too early. Friday is the seventh day. So then your next option is to do the bris on Shabbos. Here's where the problem begins. You cannot do the bris on Shabbos, even though the halacha is that a milah is doche Shabbos, the mitzvah of milah overrides Shabbos. That's only true if it's a milah bismana, only a milah on the eighth day overrides Shabbos, not a milah shalom bismana. So this baby is now a suffolk milah bismana, suffolk milah shalom bismana. If the truth is that the baby was really born on Friday, so then this is not a milah bismana. This is the ninth day. If the baby was born on Shabbos, so then this is a milah bismana. We don't know. That's the whole problem. Ben HaShemashas is a suffolk. So therefore, the Mishnah says, we have to throw our hands up. You cannot do the bris on Friday, because Friday may be too early. On the other hand, you can't do the bris on Shabbos either, because that may be too late. Maybe a mila shelo b'zmana. So that would be a small technicality. It would be a nisus skila, because that would be chil Shabbos shelo b'makom mila b'zmana. So you're not allowed to do that. So Friday's out of the question. Shabbos out of the question. Lays brera. So you have to push it off until Sunday. That's what the Mishnah says. Beferish, explicit Mishnah in Perek Rabbeinu. The meal of the 19th Perek of Shabbos. So then the Mishnah says, just to make matters a little bit more complicated, is that what would that locha be? If you now have a baby, let's say for argument's sake, that was born on Friday afternoon, let's say Berash Mashos, and it happens to be, your good luck, is that Yom Tov happens to be on Sunday. So now, what are your options? What's available for you? So the Mishnah makes the following calculation. Well, you can't do the bris on Friday, for the same story as before, maybe too early. You can't do the bris on Shabbos, because it may be too late. So let's push it off to Sunday, it's Yom Tov. So here the Mishnah says, no, you can't do that either, because Sunday is for sure shelo b'zmana. There's no question. It's either the 9th or the 10th day. So that's absolutely out of the question. Because just as the halacha is that mila is docha Shabbos only if it's a mila b'zmana, so too only a mila b'zmana is docha Yom Tov. Even though Yom Tov is less of an isra malacha, it's only an isra lav, it's not an isra skila. But alfa pichein, the halacha is that only a mila b'zmana is docha Yom Tov. A mila shelo b'zmana is not docha Yom Tov. So we have to, and therefore, what are your options? So the Mishnah says you're stuck. So the Mishnah says that you have to, you can't do the bris on Friday, maybe too early. Can't do the bris on Shabbos, maybe too late. Can't do the bris on Sunday. So you have to push the bris off until Monday. Can we make this matters even more complicated? So the Mishnah says yes. You can have one more permutation, one more crazy case. Instead of having one day Yom Tov, you can have 2 days of Yom Tov. So what would the halacha be if, again, we'll give the example of Rosh Hashanah, because that's the example that says in the Mishnah. We'll give the example of Rosh Hashanah falling on Sunday and Monday, even though according to our calendar it can't happen, but just we're too complicated, we're so confused anyway, so we'll just make it simple. So the baby is born on Ben Hashmashos, a Friday going into Shabbos. So you can't do it on Friday, too early. Can't do it on Shabbos, then maybe too late. Can't do it on Sunday because it's Yom Tov. Can't do it on Monday because it's Yom Tov. So you're stuck, you got to push the meal all the way off until Tuesday. So the Mishnah says that's the longest possible time you could push off a bris if the baby's healthy. If the baby's not healthy, you push it off for years. But if the baby's healthy, the longest possible permutation of a pushed off bris is when you have 2 days of Yom Tov immediately preceded by Shabbos, or the Pesukim say vice versa. If you'd have 2 days of Yom Tov and then following that would be Shabbos, it would be the same story. So when you have 3 days of Kedushas Hayom in a row, so that's the case where the milah is pushed off potentially to the 12th day. That's what the Mishnah says, Yesh Nima L'Shnemasar. You can have a case where a healthy baby could be mild in theory to the 12th day of its birth when you have a baby that was born in Hashmashos with a three, quote unquote, a 3 day Yom Tov in a row.
Why couldn't you say that the second day Yom Tov is subject to Rabbah?
Oh, okay, we're getting there. So this is the way the Mishnah plays out. So the Rishonim are quick to point out that the Mishnah's example of the colloquial 3 day Yom Tov, I don't know whoever coined that term 3 day Yom Tov. It's like an American term to describe, the guy doesn't take a shower for 3 days. We're not 3 day Yom Tov. But there is obviously no such thing as a 3 day Yom Tov. If a person wants a 5 day Yom Tov, they can get one also. I had one of the Talmidim in the yeshiva a couple of years ago. He married a girl from New Zealand, so he went to New Zealand for Pesach, and it turned out the last days of Pesach were Wednesday and Thursday. So in New Zealand, there's a suffix. It's one of those dateline shilas. It's the same shilas as Japan. So many poskim are mach, but they keep an extra day. So if you keep Wednesday and Thursday, and then it's a big chiddush to keep an extra day of Yom Tov Sheni also. It's also a shilas. But so he kept the last days of Yom Tov for Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday was a suffix Thursday, and then he had to keep Shabbos, and then he had to keep Sunday as a suffix Shabbos. So he had 5 days in a row of an Issa Malacha. So, in case anyone's interested in going to New Zealand for a 2 day Yom Tov. And if you go to New Zealand for a 3 day Yom Tov, you can end up with sick. I don't know, make the cheshbon yourself. Anyway, so the example that the Mishnah gives of this colloquial 3 day Yom Tov is 2 days of Rosh Hashanah followed by a Shabbos. So the Rishonim have a machlokes. How come the Mishnah picked punk on the case of Rosh Hashanah? Why did it say dafka Rosh Hashanah? Why doesn't it talk about a regular Yom Tov Sheni Shogolios? So that's machlokes of Rishonim. So half the Rishonim say It's not a kash in the first place. The Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael. So the Tanoim in Eretz Yisrael didn't have a second day of Yontif. So the concept of Yontif Shemesh HaGolias didn't exist. So what do you want from Yudan Nasi? Yudan Nasi lived in Tiveri, in Tzipori. So what happened to him that he should have spoken about a two-day Yontif? He never heard of a two-day Yontif. So therefore he gave a 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which exists for the Bnei Eretz Yisrael as well. That's what some Rishonim said. And other Rishonim say, no, that Rabbi Yudan Nasi, true, he lived in Eretz Yisrael, but he knew he had colleagues who lived in Bavel. He knew that there exists a concept called the Yontif Shemesh HaGolias. So why didn't Rabbi Yudan Nasi speak about Yontif Shemesh HaGolias to teach us the following halacha, that even though the halacha is that only a mila bezmana is doche yomtiv, as we said before, but a mila shelo bezmana cannot be doche yomtiv, but a mila shelo bezmana can be doche Yontif Shemesh HaGolias. And the reason being, but the Shemesh HaGolias is not a derabbanan. It's not even a real sofek bezmana zeh. So a mila shelo bezmana, a real absolute mila shelo bezmana, can be done even l'chatchila on a Yontif Shemesh HaGolias. That's what other Rishonim answer to that question. There are some posts actually paskin this way. The Shach paskin that way. Aminig is not that way. Aminig is that we don't do a mila shelo bezmana even on a Yontif Shemesh HaGolias. There is a machlokus in the Acharonim. What would that loch be if you have a suffic mila shelo bezmana on a Yontif Shemesh HaGolias? What would that loch be? If you're not sure, maybe it is mana, maybe it's not zmana. So a whole group of Acharonim say, you should do it. You know why? It's a sveik sveika. So it's a suffic. Maybe the shach's right, that a mila shelo bezmana is doicha. And maybe this is a mila bezmana. So a whole group of Acharonim created such as a sveik sveika, that if you have a suffic mila shelo bezmana, you should do it on Yontif Shemesh HaGolias. And others say, no, it's a dovah shnei shlomat tirin. You can do it tomorrow. This is ready. Whole world in and of itself, what do you do in such a case? I'll tell you, Mike Sashoyakahoya, that I was, this goes back, I don't know, about 20 years or so, I remember what happened in the Yangizel of Riverdale. I was standing, it was about a couple of days after Simchas Torah, I was standing and talking to Rabbi Willig, and somebody came by and was telling them about a bris that they were at. So the person said to Rabbi Willig, yeah, was that a bris? It was a strange situation. It was a bris on Simchas Torah. Okay, that in and of itself was not a strange situation. And they said, but somebody said that the baby was born cesarean, and they were having the bris on Simchas Torah. So Rabbi Willig's face, if anyone knows Rabbi Willig knows, made one of those faces like, what? So I said, why? What's the what? Because the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that a baby that's a Yotzei Dofen is not Doche Shabbos and not Doche Yontif. That's not called a Mila Bezmana, a Pidin. Because the Pasuk says in Pashas Kezria, Yishaki Sezria V'yolta Zohar, that a woman gives birth in the normal fashion, so the only time that a Mila is Doche Shabbos, if it's a regular birth, if it's a Yotzei Dofen, so then it's not going to be a Doche Shabbos. That's the din. That's the halacha. It very rarely happens that we have those shilas of the Yotzei Dofen being Doche Shabbos for the following reason, that most cesareans are already planned cesareans. So if you plan a cesarean, you're not going to be a chochem, you're not going to plan a cesarean for Shabbos. So it's not going to be mila bismana anyway. So every once in a while, you get an emergency cesarean when the woman goes into labor on Friday night, and it turns out that she has to have an emergency cesarean. So that emergency cesarean now will not be Doche Shabbos. We had this in a shul a couple of years ago. Right, we had somebody who had a Rausman, right? So 2-3 years ago, I gave a whole shit about it then. That's right. Okay. Get the shul records. You still got the documentation. Gonna bring him to Israel to bring the history of the Orah Torah. So Taka Kachav, that she had an emergency cesarean on a Friday night. So he was all ready to have a bris on Shabbos. So he called me Sunday. I'm so excited about a bris on Shabbos. I said, you're not having a bris here on Shabbos. I said, he said that we call that Chol Shabbos. We have a skiller party. So he had to have the bris on Sunday. So again, Lamaisa, you very rarely have a Yotzei Dofen Shaila that comes up. But it can happen. So just as a Yotzei Dofen is not Doche Shabbos, it's not going to be Doche Yomtif either. So Rabbi Will looked at the guy like he was nuts. He said, what, you had a bris of a Yotzei Dofen on Simchas Torah? How you talking? It can't be. So I was in the middle of discussing this, and Rabbi Will looked at him. So I said to him, I said, maybe the Cheshbon was like this. Maybe the Cheshbon is somebody made a mistake, but that's one possibility. But maybe the Cheshbon was like this. That Yotzei Dofen is not Doche Shabbos is a big machlekes. It's a machlekes in the Gemara, it's a machlekes in the Rishonim. We paskin Shulchan Aruch, it's absolutely not. There's no question about Lahalacha, we paskin it not. But the Ravid claims that the Rambam holds it's a suffix. Some Rishonim say it may be a suffix, whether we really pass it that way or not. And Yantav Sheni, if Simchas Torah is Yantav Sheni Shogolia. So the Piskachuva quotes from Samach Renim Hussein, who the others will say, that if you have a Suffolk Mila Shalom Ismana on Yantav Sheni Shogolia, you can be Makil to have the bris, you should have the bris based on a Sveik Sveika. It's better to have the bris on the eighth day, even though it's on Yantav, because it's a Sveik Sveika. Then maybe Yantav Sheni is always, Mila Shalom Ismana is always the Yantav Sheni, and even if it's not, well, maybe this baby is really Yom HaShemini. So the Did of the Yetzi Doifen is like a Shtickle Sofek, according to the Rai, but it's a Shtickle Sofek. So maybe that's what the Moel meant. Maybe that was the Kavan of this family. Maybe that was what they held based on this Sveik Sveika. So if the Rabbi Willi giving that person a funny look, he gave me a funnier look when he said, "Come on," he said, "That's not that. We don't do that. We don't do that." But that's what happened. It was Kachav, and it was a bris on a Simchas Torah. Maybe that was the Cheshvan that was taking place. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So the Mishnah gives you all these wild permutations of how you can have a bris on day 9 and day 10 and day 11 and day 12, and the case that the Mishnah spells out is this case of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah following Shabbos, before Shabbos, etc. So there is a basic premise of this entire Mishnah which needs a little bit of explanation. The premise of the Mishnah is that Mila Shaloi Bizmana is not Docha Yom Tov. That's the assumption of the Mishnah. And just in case we missed it, the Mishnah spells it out. The Gemara spells it out of Masechta Shabbos that it's obvious from this whole discussion that a Mila Shaloi Bizmana, if it's not the eighth day, is in fact not going to be Docha Yom Tov, just as a Mila Shaloi Bizmana is not going to be Docha Shabbos. And that's already a red flag. That's already a question. Why exactly is that so? Why isn't the Mila Shaloi Bizmana Docha Yom Tov? So the Gemara makes the following calculation. As we know, there's a principle that appears in the beginning of Masechta Yevam, is called Asei Docha Los Asei. When you have a positive mitzvah and a prohibition that come together, they hit head on, so which is Docha which? Which overrides the other? So the halacha is that Asei is Docha Los Asei, and the classic example being Tzitzis and Shatnez. The Gemara derives this whole halacha from this pasuk. The Torah says, you're not allowed to wear Shatnez, and yet the Torah says, Gedilim Tasel Lecha, you have to wear Tzitzis. You can have a situation where Tzitzis is Shatnez. Our Tzitzis are never Shatnez, but you can have a situation where Tzitzis can be Shatnez. If a person has a linen beged and he has to put on tzitzis, who says the strings have to be wool? The Torah says they have to be wool. They have to be tcheles. So tcheles has to be blue wool. So by definition, it's going to be shatnez. You have a linen beged with woolen strings of tcheles. So you're obviously going to violate shatnez. So the Torah says, yep, that's what you do. Kedilim ta'asalucha, even though it's shatnez. That's the din min haTorah. Midirabanan, we don't do that anymore. Midirabanan, if a person has a linen beged, so that he does not put tzitzis on it at all, because the chachamim are afraid that even though min haTorah you're allowed to, that's only true if he has kosher tcheles. But let's say he buys some imitation tcheles, some fake tcheles or something, so then there's really no mitzvah. He's not doing the mitzvah of tcheles. So why did he put on woolen strings for the first place? So the answer is that he violated an isser, that he violated shatnez shelo b'makom tcheles, and that would be a problem. So the Chachamim made a gezeira that even though min haTorah you're supposed to put tzitzis on, you're supposed to put the woolen strings on when you have a linen beged, but midirabanan you're not supposed to. And according to most Rishonim, not only midirabanan are you not supposed to put on tcheles, you're not supposed to put on anything. Don't wear tzitzis. If you have a linen beged, wear it without tzitzis. That's the way most of the Rishonim pass. That's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. If a person decides he wants to wear a four-quarter linen beged, don't wear tzitzis. We don't want to take any chances. Don't put on white tzitzis. Don't put on blue tzitzis. Don't put on linen tzitzis. Don't put on woolen. Don't put on anything. It's a gezeira that you may come to violate shatnez shelo b'makom mitzvah. That's the din, what's called sadeh b'tzitzis. So some people may remember from about 2:30 in the morning or so, when we spoke this past Shavuos night, about the ability of the chachamim to tell you to violate mitzvahs in the Torah. So how can the chachamim do that? The Torah says, if you have a four-quarter beged, you have to put on tzitzis. How can the chachamim say otherwise? So the Gemara says, no, that falls under the category of sheva al ta'aseh. They're not telling you to do an aveira. They're telling you not to put on the strings, not to put on the tzitzis. So that they're allowed to do. They can't tell you to do malach on Shabbos. They can't tell you to eat treif, but they can tell you not to put on tefillin on Yom Sheni Shagolios. They can tell you not to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalos B'Shabbos. They can tell you not to shake a lulav on Sukkah Shechalos B'Shabbos. So they can tell you not to put the strings on the beged. That's what the Gemara says, Beferish and Yivam, to pay test. So it's on that Gemara that Tosos jumps and says, why is that called Sheva Al Taseh? That's called Kumba Aseh, because they're telling you to put the beged on. They're telling you to do an action, to put on a beged with four corners without tzitzis. Isn't that a problem of kumvaseh? So again, this is beyond the scope right now. The whole story, why is that not considered to be kumvaseh? Fine. But whatever it is, the Gemara is beferish that we don't follow that halacha anymore, that we no longer wear what's called tzadim b'tzitzis, because we don't want to get involved in this gezeirah. The Rush tells a story. The Rush writes that when he came to Spain, so he saw that people were wearing linen begadim. When he was in Germany, most of the years the Rush was a rav in Germany, so it was cold, and much colder in Germany. As I was looking online last night to see what the weather forecast for Berlin and Munich is this week, so not that cold, it's about the same as where I'm going this week. That I wasn't just I'm looking into the weather forecast. So the weather forecast is pretty much the same as here, about 70 degrees or so. But apparently in the wintertime it's much colder. So whereas in Spain it's much warmer. So when the Rush was in Germany, so everyone was wearing wool tzitzis. Then he came to Spain, so it was a little warmer outside, so he walks around and knows that everybody's wearing linen begadim. So he says, why are they wearing linen begadim with tzitzis? The Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that. There's an issa derabanan called tzadim betzitzis. So the Rush writes, Mestamba, the minhag in Spain was based on the following. The whole gezeira was, gezeira, you may come to wear fake tcheles. But Bisman Azeh says the Rush, nobody has tcheles. There's no fake tcheles, no authentic tcheles. No one has tcheles. So maybe the whole Gezeirah Derabanan doesn't apply anymore. So then we can go back to, you could wear a linen baguette with linen strings, and you don't have to be chayshish. The Gezeirah, you may put in the fake tcheles. That was the Rush's yishuv of the Minigal. The Rush writes in a few places that when he was in Germany for many years, he grew up in Germany, and then he had to run, he had to escape for his life. Because his Rebbe was in prison, the Maharam Rutenberg was in prison by the government, and basically he died in jail, and they wouldn't release his body, a whole story. And the Rush realized that he was the next one on the hit list of the government, so he ran away. In the dark of night, he disappeared, and he ran to Spain, and he came to Spain. So he was a yek in a Swedish country. So he was lost. So he writes in a few places that he came to Spain and he saw they were doing this funny meaning and that funny meaning. The other funny, he didn't know what they were doing. So he tried to explain. He's walking around this Rudelheim Machzor trying to figure out the with the Sephardim. So anyway, his biggest problem was he didn't have a job. So there was the pre-Smicha placement office. So he got in touch with the Rashba. The Rashba was a contemporary of his. And the Rashba was in charge of all of Spain. He was the Rav in Barcelona, which was the main Jewish community at the time. So the Rashba gave him a shtela in Toledo. The other was the smaller Jewish community. So he gave the Rosh a job. So the Rosh was the Ashkenazi, was the Yekesh Rav in the Swedish community. Strange situation. Anyway, but so getting back to that story, so there's a din of asei dochalosa say. When you have a conflict between a positive mitzvah and a prohibition, so the positive mitzvah is dochalosa say. But the Gemara in Yevamos has a lot of conditions to this. The Gemara in Yevamos spends the first 10 blot, those remember from Daf Yom Yevamos, it's called the Sugya of Aleha, because it speaks about the word Aleha, about Yibum. When is Yibum doche surim, and when is it not doche surim? So one of the klalim that the Gemara says is that asei docha losa say doesn't apply if the losa says the losa says sheyesh bo kares. If the losa says is a chomedik iser, if it's a very high serious type of an iser, so then asei docha losa say doesn't apply. So that's why the Gemara explains that the rule of asei docha losa say wouldn't apply for a mila on Shabbos. Because Shabbos is an Issa Kares, and the Losa says Sheish Bokares. So the regular rule of Asei Docha Losa say wouldn't apply. So Hakam Mila is Docha Shabbos, it's a Gzer Sakosov. B'yom HaShmini Yimo B'sar Losa B'yom HaFilu B'Shabbos. It's the exception to the rule. So we can't apply the principle of Asei Docha Losa say, because Losa say Shabbos is too Chomor. So we have to fall back on the Gzer Sakosov of B'yom HaShmini. That's why the Gemara explains, B'yom HaShmini is only B'yom HaShmini. Only if it's the 8th day. If it's not the 8th day, then it's not governed by this Gzer Sakosov. The asei docha losa say rule is not applicable, and a million, I'll let it do it. So that's the background of mila b'shabbos b'zmana. But the Gemara raises the question, what about a mila on Yom Tov? A mila on Yom Tov, Yom Tov is not an iser kares. Yom Tov is only an iser lav. It's malchus. So why don't we say as follows? Whenever you have a conflict between the mitzvah of mila and the iser of Yom Tov, let the asei of mila override the losa say of Yom Tov. You don't need the Gzer Sakasa for Yom HaShmini, Yom HaBasar HaLosel. Just based on the regular rules of Asei Dochalosa say, what would we gain by that application of the regular rules? Then it would apply even Shalom Bismana. L'mais, if you do a bris milah on the 25th day, it's also a mitzvah d'orais of milah. So anytime you have a bris on Yom Tov, whether it's mana or lobas mana, so do the bris. It's kavaldik. Why should you do the bris? Yavo asay sheyesh, the mitzvah's asay of Yom HaShemini Yom Loso, even though it's not Yom HaShemini, the yidche, the los asay of Yom Tov, that's the Gemara's kasha. And you see befeirush from the Mishnah that it's not true. The Mishnah says black and white. You can't do a milah shelobas mana on Yom Tov, pashum fun of Elfed. So why not? That's the question that the Gemara is hanging with. On Shabbos, I understand why. A Seidok will also say it's not applicable. You need the Gzeres HaKosov. The Gzeres HaKosov is limited to the 8th day. But here, you don't need the Gzeres HaKosov. Just plain and simple, a Seidok will also say. That's the Gemara's Kasha. So the Gemara gives a whole series of answers to that Kasha. We're just going to focus on two of them. So one answer the Gemara says is that the rule of a Seidok will also say only applies if it's an assay against the Los Asay. But what if the Los Asay itself is also an Asay? Sometimes the Torah tells us, don't do something, and by you not doing something, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. So Yom Tov is an example of this. When we don't do Malacha, we didn't do Malacha on Friday, Yom Tov, we sat back and refrained from doing Malacha, so not only did we not violate an Isser, each one of us, we got a mitzvah Asay of Shabbos on Yom Tov, Tishbos on Yom Tov. There's a positive mitzvah to refrain from Malacha on Yom Tov. You don't have to do anything to you. You can sleep all day and still be answering a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah Asay ben Torah to be Shavos be Malacha on Yom Tov. So now comes the Gemara, let's make the calculation. You have to draw it on your blackboard. So on one side, you have the mitzvah essay of Mila. It's a Mila Shlobis Mana. It's a mitzvah essay of Mila. Great, wonderful, let's do it. On the other hand, you have a Los Asay Balacha. That's okay. Asay Doch Los Asay. But we're in a pickle because you have an Asay also. So comes the Gemara and says, Ein Asay Doche Asay Velos Asay. That the one little mitzvah bris Mila cannot knock out of the box the Asay and the Los Asay of Yom Tov. And therefore, we're back to square one. Asay Doch Los Asay is not applicable on Yom Tov either. The only het to do a Mila on Yom Tov is Bayom HaShemini, Bayom HaFilu B'Shabbos, HaFilu B'Yom Tov, HaFilu B'Yom HaKippurim. But it's only if it's Yom HaShemini. If it's not Yom HaShemini, then it's like this. If it's Suffolk Yom HaShemini, you're up the creek. So we would have thought it would have been great. We could have done this Mila on Friday. If the halacha would have been that a Mila Shalob is mana, it would have been Doche Yom Tov, it would have been great. We could have done the bris on Friday. We could have had a cheesecake bris 6 o'clock in the morning. That would have been exciting. But the halacha is you can't, because Ein Asay, Doche Asay Velos Asay. That's one reason the Gemara gives. That's the simpler of the two reasons. Then the Gemara gives another reason. And the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why you can't do the Mila of a Mila Shalob is mana on Yom Tov. Catch this one, the Gemara says. You know why you're not allowed to do a Mila Shalob is mana on Yom Tov? Because the Torah says, when you bring a Korban Pesach, that was last Yom Tov, when you bring a Korban Pesach, so any part of the meat that's left over, v'hanos to be menuad boker, v'esh tisrofu. So if you look carefully at that pasuk, the pasuk is repetitive. The Torah says, lo sasiru mi menuad boker, v'hanos to be menuad boker, v'esh tisrofu. So what's the phrase that's superfluous? Ad boker. It should have said, lo sasiru mi menuad boker, v'hanos to be menuad v'esh tisrofu. So why does it repeat and say, v'hanos to be menuad boker, v'esh tisrofu? What's the additional boker? So the Gemara says, this is teaching us, the Torah Shabbat explains this to mean, that you have to wait a second boker. Means when you would bring a Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, and if you have leftover meat, you weren't supposed to have leftover meat, but you were lazy, you didn't get around to eating all the meat. So comes the morning, there's a mitzvah sreifas nosa, you mechuyah min haTorah to burn the meat. You don't burn the meat on Yom Tov morning. You don't burn the meat on Tezvav Nisan. Ad boker bo'esh tisrofu, you have to wait until Tezayin. It's chutzlar, it's chol. You have to wait until Chol HaMoed to burn the meat. Ain sorfin kachim b'yomtiv. You're not allowed to burn kachim on yomtiv. That's the halacha, and therefore ad boker doesn't mean yomtiv, but rather ad boker means the following morning. Do we have any nafkamina ladina in terms of this? Does this halacha that ain sorfin kachim to me, ain sorfin kachim sulim b'yomtiv, does this affect our lives? So it does affect our lives. It saved us. Knew how long, Gabbai? How long did it save us Friday night? This halacha of ain sorfin kachim b'yomtiv. It made me speak for 5 minutes, because we don't say B'mem Madlikin on Yom Tov for this reason. Because one of the things that it says in B'mem Madlikin is Ein Sarfin Ein Madlikin M'shem and Tzrei for B'yom Tov. So that means if you have Truma, if you have a Yom Tov going into a Shabbos, so if it's Truma Tameya, so you're not allowed to light. Normally, if you have Truma Tameya, if you're a Kohen, you're allowed to burn Truma Tameya, you're allowed to use it. But on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to burn Truma Tameya, because that would be a violation of Ein Sarfin Kachim B'yom Tov, because there's Shem that it didn't derice, it didn't derabana for Truma, Truma's not really Kachim. But whatever, it's another sugya. But therefore, the minig is that we don't say, we don't want to say that phrase on a yontif. We don't, people get all confused. People are going to start to go burn this, their shem and shreif on yontif. There are other reasons why we don't say we're leaking on yontif also. But anyway, so getting back to the story. So that's the din. You're not allowed to burn kachem tameim, kachem psulim on yontif. So the Gemara says, okay, since you're not allowed to burn kachem tameim on yontif, or noser on yontif, therefore you're not allowed to do a mila shalom zman on yontif. So you got to stop and read the Gemara and say, what did I miss? What happened here exactly? We're trying to figure out why this bris wasn't done on Friday, and the answer is because you're not allowed to burn noser, become Pesach, on Pesach morning. You have to wait till Chol HaMoed. What's the connection between the two? So Rashi explains to you what the connection is. Rashi says, what the Gemara means is as follows. This din, that you're not allowed to burn kachim on yontif. What kind of halach is that? Why can't you burn kachim tameim on yontif? You're allowed to make a fire in yontif. You're not allowed to make a new fire, but from a pre-existing fire, I'm allowed to throw logs into the fire to heat my house on yontif. I'm allowed to light a candle to read from on yontif. I'm allowed to cook on yontif. So this is a chamitzvah. So why can't I do a mitzvah on yontif? What's the problem? I'm allowed to do sreif. I'm allowed to do havara on yontif for other reasons. So why in the world can't I do havara for to burn the kachim tameim, to burn the nosar? So comes Rashi and says, what's pshat of this gzeres hakosov? The pshat of the gzeres hakosov must mean as follows. The mitzvah of sreifas kachim, of nosar, is not really today's mitzvah. It's not yontif's mitzvah. It's not tesvav nisan's mitzvah. It's really a midday dechol. It's an extension of yesterday's korban. Yesterday was a weekday. Yesterday was a regular Tuesday afternoon. I have to burn the korban as the end of the hakrafas korban. Whatever's left over of the korban is the end of the avoda of yesterday's korban. But basically, the halacha is kiveya that this is an erev yontif tikkun mitzvah. This is not a yontif tikkun mitzvah. Says Rashi, when does the Torah say you're allowed to do things on yontif? When are you allowed to light fires on yontif? When it's a tzarech of yontif? When it's a yontif tikkun mitzvah? When it's something that's supposed to be on yontif? I want to eat on yontif. I want to read on yontif. I want to heat my house up on yontif. That's the whole problem with Erev Tavshil. That's the whole problem. How can you cook from Yontif to Shabbos? What happened? Shabbos is not Yontif. So we spoke about this in the past also. Maybe the guests will come, or maybe Tzorchei Shabbos not to be Yontif. That's a whole story in and of itself. But the theme of Yontif, of Achash and Achal Chol Nefesh, means when it's a Yontif to Ketzorech, that's what the Torah permits. But it's not a Yontif to Ketzorech, so that's a problem. It's not a Yontif to Ketzorech, the Torah says you're not allowed to do that in Yontif. So says Rashi, Chazal extrapolated from that halacha to a Mila Shlo Bezmana. What does a Mila Shlo Bezmana mean? It means it's not really a Yontif to Ketzorech. The Mila was really supposed to be done yesterday. It's last week's mitzvah. It got schlepped, it got pushed off, it got drayed because the baby decided to be born at the wrong time, so you don't know what to do. Mila, but it may be yesterday's mitzvah. So the Torah puts the foot down and says, no, you can't do yesterday's mitzvah on Yom Tov. So says Rashi, that's what Chazal meant. We probably read this pasuk also, Siri Menor Boch Beish Yisro, for 1,000 times in our life, and I don't think any of us would have ever in a million years said, oh, that pasuk, yeah, that's the machar that you're not allowed to do a mila shlo bezman on Yom Tov. But Chazal, Baruch Kachem, understood that what the yisod of this halacha is, of ein sarfim nosa be Yom Tov, it's not just a gzer sekosov, there's a principle behind it. We have to understand the underlying principle. The underlying principle is that a midei dechol cannot be done on Yom Tov. Only a Yom Tov tikkut tzarech is dechi Yom Tov, a chol tikkut tzarech is not dechi Yontif, and the Mela, we can compare that to a Mila Shalob Ismana. So Lamaisa, when all the dust settles, a Mila Shalob Ismana is not Dech Yontif. That's the din. There's no shayla, no answers and buts about that. A Mila Shalob Ismana min HaTorah is not Dech Yontif, either because Eina say Dech HaSei Velosa say, or because it's a Gzer Sekosu Surface Kachim. Whatever it is, the bottom line is that it's not going to be Dech. So therefore, we're right back again with the Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells us that a Mila Shalob Ismana is not going to be Dech Yontif, and even if a sofik mila shlo bezman is not going to be a dechi yontif, and therefore we're in a whole pickle in terms of this baby. So let's go back to this baby again, back to this morning's about to be rachanimol. So let's chazal very, very quickly what happened. So this baby was born at 8:33, and shkia was 8:10. And I say the baby was born at 8:33. We're working with the assumption that the birth of the baby means when the head comes out. If that's what the Mishnah says, Yotze Rosho, that's the phrase that Chazal used, there is a machlokes aposkim whether Yotze Rosho means that the baby's head literally comes la'avir ha'olam, like we're assuming, or whether Yotze Rosho means a little bit earlier on, when the baby's head comes out perhaps of the cervix, even though the head is still still inside the body, maybe that's still considered to be Yotzei Rosh Hashanah. Again, for this case, it's not going to make much of a difference. So we're going to work with the general assumption. It means Yotzei Lavra Olam. So the baby's head came out at 8:33. So the question is now more of a Mila Shaila, now a Ben Hashmasha Shaila. So Al Pi Halacha, what exactly was 8:33? What time in the clock was 8:33 in terms of, was it Thursday, was it Friday, was it really Ben Hashmashas? So when Dr. Field first called me and he said to me, when he called the second time and he told me the baby was born at 8:33, so my initial reaction was this is it, you hit the jackpot, this is the Ben Hashmashas baby that we can't do the meal on Thursday, and we can't do the meal on Friday, we can't do it opposite Shabbos, and we have to push off the stuff. That was my initial reaction. But I was hesitating for a moment. I'll tell you why I was hesitating. Because is this still really Ben Hashmashos? 23 minutes after Shkia. Is 23 minutes after Shkia really, really Ben Hashmashos still? So we just need a little bit of a background to this. So the Gemara tells us that the time of Ben Hashmashos is 3/4 of a meal is considered to be the period of Ben Hashmashos. A meal is different opinion. We assume it's 18 minutes. That's what we generally assume. A meal is 18 minutes, the amount of time it takes a person to walk this amount of distance. So we're going to work with the math that a meal is 18 minutes. Therefore, 3/4 of a meal is 13 and a half minutes. So technically speaking, 13 and a half minutes after Shkia, Ben Hashmashos is really over. This is the calculations of the Gra, and the way we most of us generally are knowing. Rabbi Tam is a very different story. According to Rabbi Tam, you could have done this bris on Thursday. The baby was a Thursday baby. But okay, we're working with the Gra's Zman, as we generally work with. So 13 and a half minutes is technically the end of Ben Hashmashos, and it's really Tzeisik Echavim. But, so what was the Shaila? So we should have had the bris on Friday morning. The problem is as follows, that the Gra points out, as the globe points out, that depending on where you are, so Ben Hashmashos is going to be longer. Those who remember in Eretz Yisrael, it gets dark significantly quicker in Eretz Yisrael. The further north, the further away you get from the equator, so the longer it takes to get dark. I took a quick look also at some of the Zmani Hayom for Berlin, and I was found out that Shabbos is over next week, I think at 11 o'clock at night. So it's and there's a longer Ben Hashmashos that's further north. So, the question is, what we really have to do is, we have to take the 13 and a half minutes of the Gra, and we have to put that into where we are in the world. So we have to plug in those numbers. 13 and a half minutes are the numbers not given in Vilna. Those are the numbers given in Yerushalayim. Those are the Zmanim given for Eretz Yisrael. That's where the Sugya Piyos Masechah Shabbos. So we assume that those Zmanim are talking about in Eretz Yisrael. So now we have to figure out, do some kind of a math and figure out, 13 and a half minutes of the Gra, how does that translate into where we are, further north of the equator. So there's actually a website that actually does this for you if you're interested, based on the degrees of the sun. There are different positions in the poskim exactly how to extrapolate properly. So it comes out to, with the Gra's extrapolations, it comes out to somewhere, depending on the time of year, it's a little bit different in the winter, the summer, the spring, it could be anywhere from 18 to about 25 minutes after Shkia. So that's if you go with the Gra's numbers and then you extrapolate it further north, it comes out to about 25 minutes after Shkia. Those in our shul may be familiar with that magic number, 25 minutes after Shkia, because that's usually when we daven Ma'ariv on Friday night. I mean, in the summertime we daven before this man, but in the rest of the year, so we try to wait for Kriya Shema until about 25 minutes after Shkia. If I run out of things to talk that night, so then we'll start 23 and the Chazan will schlep for 2 minutes to get to Shema. But we try to say Shema about 25 minutes after Shkia. The reason being is that by Ikra, then that's probably Tzeis Kechav. I personally say Kriya Shema over again after the davening's over, but that's Chumr B'Yamah. Those who are relying on the Kriya Shema of the Shul, so then at least their Ikra, then their Yotze. That was the number that when I grew up in the Yagizel River, that was the number Rabbi Willard used to use, 25 minutes. In the Wayabase Medish, they use a half hour. Rabbi Shechta thought a few extra minutes, so the Wayabase Medish usually doesn't have Mayav until a half hour. I think when we started the Shul, we used to keep a half hour, and we lost a few minutes as the years have gone, right? Rabbi Hotz, I think that you were there that first Friday night. I spoke about this. That was the first thing I spoke about in Rishul. That was the opening words. I spoke about why we're davening Meir. Everyone's trying to figure out why is the rabbi davening Meir an hour and a half after Shkia on the first night. So I had everybody and kept the audience. No one was going. Everyone was stuck. So we explained why the meaning of the Shul is such. So we daven Meir 25 to 30 minutes after Shkia. For Dinim Derabbanan, we're even a little bit more mesfir. So Omer, we count at 25 minutes after Shkia. For Dinim Derabbanan, we're a little bit more mekel perhaps. And the the mikvah on Friday night here, I don't remember whether the policy is 20 minutes or 25 minutes, on Friday night you always try to rush things up, let the women tub a little bit early, get home before the husbands get home. So we, you know, the mikvah in Riverdale, I think, was 20 minutes after she get in front. I think here it's 25 minutes. So again, that same cheshbon, that we're trying to give it to the earliest possible permutation of Tzeisik HaChavim. So here I was thinking, this baby is born 23 minutes after Shkia. You know, it's a little bit shy of the 25-minute mark, which is really in the early side of other postgame. Don't even like this extrapolation of the Gura. You know, if you look at the calendars, they never heard of this. They'll give you 40 minutes, 42 minutes, 45 minutes. You know, under normal circumstances, in the regular weeknights, on a mikveh doesn't let the women tovel until, I think, 40 minutes or 42 minutes after Shkia. So again, those like conventional wisdom. But we know in our heart of hearts, it's probably closer to about 25 minutes after Shkia. So I think to myself, you know, 23. I checked in Rabbi Willig's Sefer on Brachas, where he goes through a lot of the calculations. So he writes that, well, Yimos HaKayetz is different, and Yimos HaNisan is different. Shavuos is right between Yimos Kaya. So he had, and one number was 21, and one number was 25. And so I said, you know what? I'll make a phone call. Sure. I said, my gut feeling is that I think this is the Ben Hashmosh's baby. I would not be comfortable doing a Mila. If it was my son, I would be very, very nervous to have this bris done on Friday. But you know what? Well, that's Rabbi Willig. Maybe Rabbi Willig is comfortable enough to call this a ready post-Tzeisik HaChavim baby. So it's a post-Tzeisik HaChavim baby. And you can have the bris on Friday. And I hope against hope, I was hoping against this, because I was trying to think about, what are we going to do? When are we going to have this bris? 6 in the morning, we're going to have the bris. I want to go to sleep, come back, have a bris at 12. I don't know, I'm not sure how the logistics are. But then my gut feeling was, it's not going to be a Friday baby. Friday baby. It's going to be a Sunday bris. But you know what? I'm going to go the extra mile and ask the question. If this would have been in Eretz Yisrael, I think they would have done the bris on Friday, because Eretz Yisrael, 23 minutes after Shkia, they daven Ma'ariv in Yerushalayim. What's the minute in Yerushalayim? What time? 22 minutes or something, 20 minutes, 22 minutes, they daven, I remember, I daven for Rabbi Yashiv, they daven Ma'ariv 22 minutes or something after Shkia on a regular day, they hold that's Tzeisik HaChavim Gomer, which is right, because in Eretz Yisrael, the numbers are shorter. So if this baby would have won Eretz Yisrael, I don't know what they would have done. We'll find out. But the Mets admitting Eretz Yisrael for Brisim, would they have done it? Maybe. So I was about to call Rabbi Willig. I'll tell you what happened. This was last Thursday night, so those who remember, it was Rabbi Neuberger's Vort. So I walked into Rabbi Neuberger's house. And I think, you know what, I'll probably bump into Rabbi Willig at the Vort. So I'll ask him, sure. There's no big rush. I have a whole week to decide. So I'll bump into him at the Vort. I'll ask him, sure. So I walk in, and who's the first person I bump into? It's Rabbi Schechter. So I think to myself, I don't have to call. I'll ask Rabbi Shechter. Then I thought to myself, no, wait a second. I asked Rabbi Shechter, I know the answer I'm going to get. Because Rabbi Shechter doesn't like to daven Ma'ariv in the Bible, he's managed to a half hour after Shkia. So I know that those 8 minutes are going to kill me. Those 8 minutes are going to be, Rabbi Shechter's not going to give on this one. So I said, you know what? I want to be clear. I want to know, you know, I wanted to hear what Rabbi Willig has to say about it. So I was standing around waiting and waiting. So, we're going to come. He didn't come till late or whatever. So then we got stuck with Ribbis. We got a Balagam and Ribbis Shilas, and we had to revamp some of the Ribbis stuff. And good. Okay. So, you know what? I'll go outside. I'll call. So, Kachav. So I called Rabbi Willig. So I sat there. Rabbi Willig, we just had it was a baby that was just born in our shul. I said, 22 to 23 minutes or so after Shkia. So he said to me two words. Bris Sunday. That was all he said. He didn't even talk about it. He said, Bris Sunday. That was his words. So, Kachava. Sada Gozer. Kachavacham Makai. Bris Sunday. So that's the way, that's what the Bris is. So I imagine that the lum this is that, yeah, 22 minutes. You can open the mikvah 22 minutes. It's like Sphira. And meals. Kachav Daraisa. A car. It's not just a car. It would be an Isalav and Malkus on Shavuos morning. And you'll do it with the 22 minutes. And it's too early. Still too early. Too close for comfort. And therefore, it's better that the Bris should be on Sunday. Then I realized afterwards that he would never have found a mail to do it for him on Friday, because it's a hassle to come. There's no mail would have been making like that, because I think Rabbi Katzenstein is doing the bris. So I'm sure that the policy there is not by 40 minutes after Shkia, or Moshe Shkia, whatever numbers they have for what's considered to be Tzeis Kechavim. So I'm sure that they don't rely on Embroyers, they daven mincha after Shkia and Embroyers. So they're not into this whole Graz Cheshbon. They say, the Maharil says the reason why they used to have the minhag of davening mincha after Shkia is because Frankfurt's on a mountain, on a valley, on a something. Somewhere. I forgot what he says. So he gives a whole shtickl Torah about where Frankfurt is. I'm going to be. The next week, I'm going to have to switch planes in Frankfurt. I'll take a look and see whether it's in a mountain or valley, somewhere. So we'll find out. Halacha will come to life. So we'll try to figure out what time to daven. And maybe daven Shachris actually next Sunday morning in Frankfurt. That's a possibility. But anyway, whatever it is, the bottom line is, as Rabbi Willig's words summed up the shiur, is that Bris Sunday, which is exactly what's going to exactly what's going to happen. Okay, the next year, next week, Mitzvah, there's no shiur, unless you want to come to Frankfurt, and hopefully Mitzvah in 2 weeks. We'll come to